Good morning. Christ is risen. Thank you for putting yourself in the presence of God to offer him praise and to receive his word for your life. This day is the high point on the calendar for Christian worshipers. And not being able to gather face to face is hard on any Sunday, but especially this one. But remember that our risen Lord is present there in your home, whether you're alone or with other family members. In fact, the early church, those first followers of Jesus, knew all about small gatherings in homes where Christ was alive and at work among them. So today, in a way, we can reconnect even more with the experience of our spiritual ancestors. We hear about some of them in today's text from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Let us pray. O God, who gives life to the dead, we thank you for this day to hear again the good news of Christ's resurrection and to rejoice in your victory over sin and death. Give us now the light of your presence. Speak to us, for we trust that your word has the power to raise us up and make us new. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin with the numbers. That's the way a news break began on a channel I was watching earlier this week. The numbers. The number of coronavirus cases worldwide. The number of deaths worldwide. The number of coronavirus cases in the United States. The number of deaths in the United States. These numbers have become part of our daily rhythm. As the sun rises each day, we get the news about the numbers. And behind each number is an individual, a loved one, mourned and missed by family members and friends. We don't know how many people died in Jerusalem on that day we call Good Friday. Certainly there were many others besides Jesus, individuals with names and stories, individuals whose families were grieving, individuals who had their particular places of burial. But in Matthew's gospel, we're taken to the grave of the one whose place of rest didn't stay a place of rest. Instead, it became the site where God buried death itself and opened the way to eternal life. We get to this grave by following two of the women who had watched Jesus die. Having seen Joseph of Arimathea bury Jesus, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, probably Jesus' mother, now come to look at the tomb. Remember that they haven't arrived expecting to witness a resurrection. They're not hiding behind a large stone, smartphones in hand, ready to capture the moment as proof of God's faithfulness and his power to save. No, the two Marys have come as mourners. They plan to continue their vigil of being with Jesus and caring for his body. The guard posted there at the tomb makes it impossible for them to get access to anoint Jesus' body, but they will at least be there, near him, with him. It's part of their way of saying goodbye. In Christian congregations and other communities of faith, we normally have organized and ritualized ways of saying goodbye to our loved ones. And this usually takes the form of a funeral service, often including a time of visitation with family and friends. But even that part of the experience of death and grief has been upended by the coronavirus pandemic. You've probably heard the stories of family members who can't physically be at the bedside of their loved one to hold their hand or speak to them due to understandable hospital rules and restrictions. They may be able to video chat with one another or at least speak by phone, but even this is far from the way that we envision being able to say goodbye to those we love and care for. A week and a half ago, Richard Boone, our brother in Christ and member of our church, died. During the days leading up to his death, Ken Heinbuch and I were unable to be with Richard in his house, where his family and hospice were providing care. We were at least able to use the phone to speak to his son and daughter-in-law, and to read scripture to Richard, to pray with him, and to tell him how much we and all of you in the congregation loved him. Though we're certainly thankful that the Lord was near to Richard through whatever forms of ministry we could offer electronically, it was still a different kind of experience from the traditions and practices that we're accustomed to in the life of our church. Sometime in the future, once circumstances are more suitable, we'll gather for a memorial service for Richard. But for now, we'll continue to mourn with and encourage his family, knowing that whether we're living in the midst of a pandemic or operating under more normal circumstances, we're called to be present with the sick, the dying, and the dead. The two Marys made a trip to the cemetery so that they could be with Jesus. Perhaps they expected to find some of the things that we hope to find when we visit someone's grave: some solace, some comfort, some connection. One thing is for sure, namely, that the two Marys weren't expecting to witness an apocalyptic display of God's power, but that's exactly what they get. They experience an earthquake and see an angel descend, roll back the stone covering the tomb entrance, and sit on it. The soldiers fall to the ground in fear, like dead people. Now is when we might expect Jesus to make his grand exit from the tomb in all his glory. But according to Matthew, that has already happened. The resurrection itself has already occurred. The angel has rolled away the stone not to let Jesus out, but to let the women in so they can see what God has done. Then the angel sends the women to deliver the news to the disciples, including the fact that Jesus is already out ahead of them. They'll see him in Galilee. So clearly this is no time to roll out the portable worship equipment and set up shop at the empty tomb, celebrating for days on end. No, there's work to be done and a mission to continue. Jesus is already out there on the path that his followers will travel. That's the thing about Easter and the resurrection it celebrates. It keeps taking us forward, out of death and into greater life, out of darkness and into greater light. I'm struck by the timing of the women's journey to the tomb. They certainly didn't slack up and sleep in. They had already been resting on the Sabbath following the crucifixion. Come Sunday morning, they picked up where they had left off with their vigil of accompanying Jesus. They set out at dawn. I like the way that one commentator puts it when he renders Matthew's description this way. As night was twilighting into the first day of the week, the rising sun was just below the horizon. Its rays were refracting and scattering off the atmosphere. In other words, the two Marys were on their way to mourning. Mourning, not only in the sense of the light of another day, but also mourning in the sense of loss and sorrow. Remember that these women were on their way to pay their respects. One day had ended, and a new one was beginning, but their grief was still fresh, deep, and heavy. They were on their way to mourning. I recently received an email from a staff member of a church renewal organization who spoke about gathering with some neighbors for worship on a front porch, at an appropriate distance, of course. They read and reflected on Psalm 130, which includes the affirmation, "I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning." The text is referring to morning as in sunrise and the start of a new day. But a couple of those present heard morning and immediately thought of mourning as in grief. It wasn't literally what the text said, but it was still fitting under the circumstances. These folks felt as if each day had become a matter of waiting for news about more sorrow and loss during the coronavirus pandemic. As the staff member pointed out, quote, "In this season, in a sense, we are watching for the morning. Who will we know? Who of us will be taken by this terrible disease?" The road ahead to Good Friday and Holy Saturday poignantly poises us for mourning. But after the mourning comes the morning. After the mourning comes the morning. This morning, Easter morning, we've journeyed through this Holy Week remembering the mourning that accompanied Jesus' suffering and death, that sorrow and grief and loss. We've remembered the mourning, the sorrow and grief and loss of thousands more whose loved ones have been taken by the coronavirus. And now our journey has brought us here to this great mourning that gives us comfort and hope in the midst of fear, distress, and sorrow. During this past week, we've seen some glimmers of hope about the scale and spread of the coronavirus. We seem to be making some progress in flattening the curve, as they say. Light at the end of the tunnel is another way that some of our public officials have tried to capture the overall trend. That's encouraging to hear, but as some folks have pointed out, even if there is light at the end of the tunnel, we're not sure how long the tunnel is. While light at the end of the tunnel can be a helpful metaphor under circumstances like this, we who are following Jesus need to keep our focus not primarily on the tunnel, but on the tomb. That's where our ultimate hope lies. And the light we see is the illumination shining through the tomb's opening, helping us see that the tomb is empty. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said, "Come and see the place where he lay." Come and see. That's what millions of people throughout the world had planned to do this morning. They had planned to come and see in the form of an Easter sunrise service. Like so many others, the sunrise service we normally hold with other congregations in our community had to be canceled too. This year, we couldn't set out while it was still dark. with musical instruments, bulletins, and boxes of donuts in hand. We couldn't gather around the back porch of the Mount Aventine Manor House. We couldn't sing, pray, and preach while a new day dawned over the Potomac River. But even though we couldn't be there, the sun still rose. And this morning, we're still worshiping. Our services were canceled, but Easter is not. Jesus is alive and has gone ahead of us. We're still following him forward into the future created by the life-giving power of God. As Bishop Robert Morneau put it, quote, "We must shake off our comas and stupors and lazy sleeping. We must arise and go with the risen Lord toward the fullness of light and peace." One pastor tells about sitting next to an elderly lady on a flight to Europe. He noticed that she was very nervous, so he asked her, "Is this your first flight?" And she said, "No, I'm always nervous when I fly, but it won't be bad this trip." And the pastor said, "Why?" And she said, "We're flying toward the morning. We're flying toward the dawn." The Christian life is life lived on the way to morning. For those who are in Christ, following him by faith, the path ultimately leads to resurrection, victory over sin and death, and fullness of life in the reign of God, the new creation. The Queen of Gospel, Mahalia Jackson, sang of it as that great getting up morning. But we also know that on the way to that great cosmic morning, when the Lord comes to set things right, there will be plenty of the other kind of mourning, the sorrows, trials, and sufferings, including the pandemics of this present world and this present life. Remember that on this Easter morning, we're like the two Marys, living devotedly during the time between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. In between those two was Saturday, a time between what has already been accomplished through the cross and the completion of what was launched at the empty tomb. So until Christ comes again to finish what God has started, we'll keep living our lives toward the dawn. By faith, we'll stay on the way to morning. Let us pray. O living God, you're our light and our salvation. Thank you again for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ so that we could be forgiven and made new. And as we live toward the day of resurrection, when Christ returns and the fullness of your kingdom dawns, keep us on the way of Jesus by faith and make us instruments of your light in the midst of present darkness. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.